And so we're going to talk today about the armor of God. So if everyone wants to turn to Ephesians 6 with me, this chapter is labeled spiritual warfare in the portion that we're going to read. We're going to read through Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And spiritual warfare, let me just tell you, there is a war that is happening all the time. Until the day of Jesus' return, there will be a war that is happening all the time. And it's a war between God and the enemy, and it's for your soul and others. And it is bigger than any war that has happened in the natural realm on this earth. And so the title of this message is called Get Out of the Trenches. And we're going to talk about what it looks like to get out of the defense, get out of the spot where you're just strategizing, and get on the battlefield to actually win the battle. So let's go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and let's read it. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people." So when I dove into this scripture, this is, if you've been a Christian for a lot of your life, you've heard this scripture before, and oftentimes those scriptures that we have heard over and over and over again, we take at face value and we don't dig into. And when I've thought about spiritual warfare in the past, I've always thought, okay, I'm gonna like war with praise. I'm gonna put on worship music at home and I'm just gonna pray and just, you know, come against the enemy. And when digging into this scripture, I noticed that the word stand was very repetitive in verses 11 through 14. And in the Greek, that word stand is anathistemi, and it means to set oneself against, to withstand, to resist, to oppose, to be steadfast. You were created to be steadfast in your armor. Your armor, this whole armor of God, every single item of it is all defensive and protection besides the sword. Every bit of it. You have a breastplate of righteousness that is right living. It is to keep you pure. It's to keep your heart pure. It's covering your heart. So avoiding things that the Lord would not take part in to keep yourself righteous, to keep yourself in right living. When you have the belt of truth, when you have peace and faith and your salvation, all of it is to protect you. It's not a weapon, it's to protect you. The only weapon that you have is this. This is your only weapon. So when you're in a trench, I view the trench often as the church. A trench is a dugout in a war zone meant as a spot of defense so that you can take cover from small fire artillery and bombs dropping, and you can be pretty well protected in this trench. When you're in this trench, you might be taking time to heal other wounds, to eat and drink, and to take a rest in the moment. Oftentimes in the trench, you will have a piece of armor off of you because you are being shielded and you are being protected. So I've got a video to show you guys real quickly to talk about this trench.
Listen to your sergeant! If anybody turns back, if any one of our boys comes running towards you, you take this rifle and you shoot them dead. Do you understand?
Do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm telling you, son? You take this rifle and you shoot them dead. Understand? Up there, son. Up your ladder. Up your ladder to your work. That's come on, boys.
Andrew, it's good. Andrew! Nobody's retreating today. Andrew! Andrew, nobody is retreating today!
Never, if you were in a war, in the middle of battle, you would never get out of your trench without a weapon. You would never get out of it with flip-flops on instead of combat boots. You would never get out of it without your helmet, because you know that without that armor and without that weapon, you are compromised. You are not an asset to your team. You are not an asset to yourself. You are going to die. But how many of us so often go out into battle, we get out of the trench, we leave church, and we don't bring our weapon. Or we get home and binge on Netflix and watch things that compromise our breastplate of righteousness. More than likely, when you're in a trench, you will be missing a piece of armor. And because you're in the trench, a spot of safety that is shielding you from the oncoming fire, it's hard to know that you're missing it. You can feel like you're being filled up with the word of God when I'm telling it to you, when I'm speaking scripture over you. But if you're not picking it up yourself, if you're not getting in it daily, you don't have your sword. It's easy to, and I've done this, I still do this. It's easy to depend on somebody else's truth. But when the rubber meets the road, you find out if you really have that truth or not. If you were in that trench, you would shoot no matter what. You wouldn't sit back because you know that those that stay in the trench, eventually the enemy is going to come in. You have to get out of the trench to see the enemy coming, and you have to get God's perspective. You have to be able to get out of the trench. You can't see the strategy of the enemy when you're in the trench. And it's your responsibility as a believer to get out of that trench in your full armor, because you are responsible for the souls that you're fighting for. When you're a soldier, soldiers aren't fighting the war for themselves. They're fighting the war for the defenseless at home. They're fighting the war for those that can't, the ones that don't know. There are so many people out in this world that don't know. They don't have shoes of peace like you do. And they're a mess. And they're broken, and they're scared, and they don't have the truth. The enemy's louder in their ears. We have responsibility as soldiers in Jesus' army to put on all our full armor, because you can't help somebody with a breakthrough that you don't have. You can't help and tell somebody about peace that's struggling with anxiety if you don't have that. God is equipping his people, and he's given every single thing that you could have that comes to you that is a battle. Everything that you're facing that is painful, everything that you're facing that is a struggle that in earthly perspectives, it doesn't look like you have an answer. You have it right here. This is the protection. This is the protection that he's created so that you can withstand it. So this became very real to me about 3 years ago. Anybody who's been here for 3 years or longer knows that our daughter, Scarlett, that she had RSV when she was 3 weeks old. RSV, if you don't know what it is, it's basically just a really bad cold for babies and for kids or babies. And a lot of times if the children are too small and too young, it can be deathly. So we had a Sunday afternoon. It was on New Year's Day. And we're all in the living room just hanging out, taking naps after church. And we look over in our baby swing at Scarlett. And she's gray. And so, you know, we pick her up and we're kind of like, is this all in our heads? Like, is it the lighting of the room? Is she out? She wasn't sick before. And so, you know, we kind of docile her a little bit and she, you know, would get a little bit of like breath and her color would return. But then as we would let her just sit, then she would turn gray again. And I've never wanted to be like the dramatic parent that takes their kid for everything to the doctor. So, you know, instead of just calling 911, I call, because I just didn't know how bad it was. I called my mom and sent her pictures, and she was like, "You need to take her to the ER now. Like, you need to take her to the ER right now." And so we were so not worried about it, to just not realizing what was going on, that I had Ethan stay at the house with Grayson, our oldest, so we didn't have to try to find a babysitter. And I just buckled her in her car seat, and I drove to the hospital, like 12-minute drive, with not even thinking about it, not realizing my child's not breathing. She's not breathing. And we get to the hospital. It takes forever to get her checked in. They give her a breathing treatment. They do test her for RSV. She's positive. They decide that they're going to send her to Detroit Children's because she's just too small for them to care for in the way they need to. And we take an hour-long ambulance ride to Children's. And I'm still kind of like, okay, this is a big deal. We're in an ambulance, but she's okay. Like, it's going to be fine. And then within 2 minutes of us getting there, they're pulling out equipment to intubate her and telling us she's gone without oxygen for enough hours now. She might not make it. There's a good chance she won't make it. If she does make it, she's going to be severely brain damaged. And immediately, so much shame is coming over me because I'm like, I'm her mom. I'm her protector. Why didn't I realize this? Why didn't I see? I drove her to the hospital on a 12-minute drive in a car seat. I didn't tell them to intubate her. I didn't encourage them. I didn't fight for her at the hospital, the first hospital stop, because I didn't realize how big of a deal it was. And it's my fault I didn't realize. How did I not know? How did I not see? And all of this, it's just the things that the enemy just throws at you of. Like, shame, 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 shame. You didn't know. You should have known. You're not good enough. You're not protecting her. And side note, when those things happen, I was never meant to be her protector in that way. The Lord was meant to be her protector in that way. And the enemy will always pin you as the one to be blamed. Because then he's already won. He's already won. If he gets you to think that, then your armor is irrelevant. Because it's all about your own strength. And you don't even think about armor at that point because it's all on you. You're keeping her safe. You're doing what you need to do. And it will rule your life. You will become a pet to the enemy when that happens. So we're there. She gets intubated. And we've got every opinion coming at us. And it was pretty late at night. So the very next morning, you know, we're in the pediatric care unit, intensive care unit, and Bill and Kim show up. And Bill and Kim become the commander in that video right there, where they said, you take your weapon and you shoot the enemy dead. We had a choice to make in that moment. Were we going to take the weapon of God, or were we going to take off our armor? Because here's the thing about your armor is that you were never meant to fight what's happening. You were meant to withstand it. Let's go back to this, the word stand in the Greek, when it says so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, or so that you may be able to stand your ground. And when you have done everything to stand, that's when you've done everything to withstand, when you've done everything to stay steadfast. Your only job in trials is to withstand and speak his word in partnership with him so he can win the battle. That's what this is for. It's his sword. It's his word that you are partnering with to speak into the earthly realm. It is a spiritual war that's happening that is much bigger than what's happening in the earthly realm. But you need to bring, what's happening is the devil is bringing spiritual strength to the earthly realm. You need to bring spiritual strength to the earthly realm. And the only way you do that is by speaking his word. But I'll tell you right now, if you compromise, if you take off your armor, if you take off your righteousness, if you take off your truth and your peace, you won't have the strength to pick up your sword. You won't have the strength. So with our daughter, we had that choice then if we were going to stay steadfast. So if you could play the next video.
I know that you are good. My heart will stay steadfast. 'Cause I know that you are good. Comforter you are to me. Shelter from the cold. Constant how you carry me, never letting go. You are with me.
The enemy will make you feel like you're a victim to your situations. He'll make you feel like no one understands and that the world is happening to you. He's going to want to make you feel like your armor's too heavy and there's a part of it that you have to take off. Not realizing that the armor is what brings you strength. How many times do we go through stress? Do we go through, you know, even the things of like work is really hard. You just got a promotion. You have all these new expectations. And so when you get home, you need an escape. So you just watch shows on Netflix. Jesus probably wouldn't watch with you because you're just trying to escape your reality. How many times do we compromise by, you know, giving into anxiety when the Lord has given us shoes of peace? I remember in the hospital, I was so angry and upset for lots of reasons. First off, I was sleep deprived, so like everything was a trigger. But I remember everybody telling me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay. And I'm like, you're not the one that hears her screaming while she's getting spinal taps as a 5-pound baby. You're not the one hearing everything that the doctors are saying. It's not okay. It's not okay. And I remember being so upset in that moment and compromising and taking off my peace. And here's the thing about compromises. If you take off one piece of armor, they slowly start falling off. You can't just take off one thing. I'm telling you right now, if you want to wear the armor of God, but you do not have right living, if you decide to put other things above him that he would not be a part of, everything else will fall off. So I remember being upset and said, I just don't like when people say that. They don't know. They don't understand. They don't know. Truth is offensive. It is offensive when people tell you what truth is. Yes, in the earthly realm, I was being told, this isn't okay. She needs to do these kind of things. She may have mental issues, all of that. And I have people, the commander in my corner, or the friend, the other friend soldier that says, Andrew, we're not going to retreat today. We're not going to retreat today, saying it's going to be okay. And it's offensive because you're asking me to go into war. I'm offended by that. But you don't want people around you that will be understanding. You don't want people around you that will let you process what's happening. You need the people around you that are going to get you out of the problem. It didn't help me to talk to people that fueled my anxiety, to encourage my worry. It didn't help me. The thing that helped me was the thing I didn't like. The thing that helped me was the truth that offended me. And I didn't have it all right. I spent the next 6 months not sleeping. I would watch her sleep all night long. I didn't sleep. I'd watch her. I had severe anxiety. I fell into depression. I would have horrible night terrors of her dying. And it was because I took my shoes of peace off. And what happened after I took my shoes of peace off and I let anxiety in was then my belt of truth got taken off. Because then I started believing all these other things. And they took over my world. I remember telling Bill and Kim, if one more thing happens, if one more bad thing happens to my children, I'm done. I'm done with ministry. I'm done trying to go after people because it's my job to protect my kids. And I can't protect my kids if they're getting attacked around every corner. But it's silly to say because the enemy is going to go for everybody either way. He wants souls. He's going to go for people either way. The devil always wants you to compromise. Not realizing that your strength is in the battle, that your strength comes from the armor that you're putting on. There's gonna be times in your life where you want to isolate. And you want to take off the armor. You want to take off truth. You want to take off faith. And you don't knowingly think that. You just bring things in your life that kind of remove them. Nobody knowingly says, I don't want to know the truth. Nobody knowingly says, I don't want to be righteous. I don't want to have right living. No one does that. But the enemy will make you feel like you are the protector, that you're the one that can stop it all, that you're the one that can keep your life in check, keep your kids' life in check, you're in charge of it all. And you're not. You were created to withstand and let him do the battling. This is the only thing you have. And it's the most freeing thing you can ever have. It sounds so, from an earthly perspective, it just sounds so weak to say, like, we don't get to war. Like, it just sounds so weak to feel like all I have is the book. All I have is this thing. And every single answer, every single struggle in your life, every dilemma, every bit of pain can be solved with this. Every bit of it. So I want to pray for anybody who feels like their armor's been compromised. Anybody who feels like in this message and in this time where you've been listening that you feel like you might be missing a piece of armor. You might be missing a piece of his protection. I just want to pray for you. So if you are one of those people, if you could stand up for me. More thing before I pray is that when we were at the hospital, we got to stay at the Ronald McDonald House, and Ethan and Bill were headed that way once, and where our daughter was intubated. I think that day she might have had her spinal tap, because I think you guys were there for that day. That was a hard day. Listening to a 5-pound baby, little 3-week-old baby, cry from a spinal tap is horrendous, is horrible. And they went back to the Ronald McDonald House, and they got in the car, and the taxi driver had a sore, something was wrong with their shoulder. They needed prayer. And so they decided in that moment, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God would heal you. We believe that Jesus heals. And so they start praying for her. She's driving, and she lifts up her hands and closes her eyes. And they're like, please put your hands on the wheel while we pray. And please open your eyes, or else we will be praying for more than just this. But that is at the end. That's the end of the scripture where it says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. If there are things in your life that you need breakthrough in, the quickest way for you to see that breakthrough is to go find people to pray for that need breakthrough. The Lord... There is something on whenever you can be praying for somebody whenever you're in the middle of crisis. So I just wanted to add that before praying, that it's not just about putting on the armor. It's about going after his people. It's about remembering that as a soldier, you're fighting for the defenseless. And that's just even more motivation to keep your armor on. When there's other people, lost people, and we're not guaranteed a day, I feel like it's so much more encouragement to keep your armor on, because you want to see those people find Jesus. You want to see them in heaven one day. So let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your revealing nature, God. I thank you that you have a heart to equip and a heart to partner. I thank you that you don't just want to do it for us, but with us. So, Lord, we put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand. We put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, that we'll be ready to stand our ground. We put on the belt of truth buckled around our waist. We wear the breastplate of righteousness and choose right living. And with our feet, we put on the gospel of peace so that everywhere we walk, the gospel would be spread. We take up your shield of faith. And Lord, we accept your salvation. God, we honor you and thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us. We repent of any sin within us, and we choose to give our lives fully to you, not looking back on a day. We choose you as our Lord. We choose you as our Savior, God, and we honor you as King. We ask you to take your place as the King of our hearts. And we praise you. So now I want to pray for anybody who has been feeling weary. If you've been feeling just weary and you just don't know. You don't know why things are happening. You don't understand how to get out of what you're in. If those people could stand, everybody else, if you don't feel weary, you can sit down. So for those that feel weary, before I just pray, I just want to, again, encourage you to get the people in your corner that will be offensive. Get the people around you that will say the things that you don't want to hear, but that hold biblical truth that will actually get you out of what you're in. Because yes, sometimes things just do happen. But this world, what we're living in, the things that are happening in this earthly realm pale in comparison to eternity. And things may be happening that just feel, they just feel like the end. They feel like you can't get past it. They feel like unfair. But you have no idea what God has through eternity and through the spiritual realm that he has for you. So I want to encourage you with that your spiritual reward is so much greater than anything that you or anyone could get in this earthly realm. What he has for you in the spirit is greater than anything you could ever desire. It's greater than anything you could ever want for. So Jesus, right now, I just ask you to hold these hearts, that you would just hold them in their weariness, God, and I ask that you would bring comfort and healing. God, we take our hearts right now and we look at you on that cross and we lay them at your feet, knowing that you're the only one that really understands and you're the only one that can get us out of it. God, I thank you for your nearness. And I ask that you would just illuminate your love and illuminate your plan in the midst of what we see as so vast and big. Amen.